Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and PT pearls to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. All right, friends, in case you missed out, the Grateful For My Body Challenge is now happening. It started yesterday, and this is the last week that we're going to have the sale open in order to be able to get in. This is the last prize. This is the last time. I don't know if I'm offering it again. I don't know when I'm offering it again, but this is really your opportunity to get in, to feel all the things that we talk about. So this is literally what Dom and I teach with clients in person, what from muscle activations and really feeling the things in our body to mobility and core and strength and hip and really everything. And it takes you through full calendar. So a full 30 days of getting used to your body, building that awareness, building that strength, building that control, and seeing what can happen and what's possible when you just trust and follow a guide from two physical therapists that really want to just allow you to feel something different in your body. Your body is so able to adapt and change and feel good. And we want to give you the tools to doing that. So go ahead and click the notes in the... So go ahead and check out the show notes because we're going to have the link there. Again, this is the final price. This is it. So I'm so excited. I can't wait for the incredible group that we have currently in there to move through and start to feel something different in their body. Hey guys, welcome back to another PT Pearl. We are so excited because today we're going into groin pain and injury, and it's a common one. I get asked a lot on Instagram about groin stuff. So we just want to be able to help you sift through all the different types of injuries first that can happen in the groin, and then what you can start to do today to really start to take control back of that pain.
Yeah, so when we talk about groin injury or groin pain, the thing is, like we've talked about with the pelvis before, there are so many things that attach in that area or make up the pelvis or make up the groin. And one of the primary muscles is the adductor. That's kind of just the inner thigh. That's the big bulk of muscle that makes up the inside of the thigh. And there's actually a lot of different muscles that are adductors or help add the leg back to the center. And one reason I think the adductor is pivotal to talk about is it actually helps, yes, add the leg back to the center. But it's unique where when our leg is flexed forward or pulled in front of our body, it helps extend the leg back to neutral. Or when it's extended back behind our body, it helps flex a little bit forward. And even based on where it's attached, there are some rotational components to how it controls. So all of the movements of the hip tug and pull at the adductor or make it work.
Exactly. And then when we're talking about the groin, remember, we're just going to be talking about every muscle that incorporates into the pelvis down there. So that's even your abs, like your abs, your abdominal wall, it comes down and attaches down into that pubic bone right at the base. And then, you know, exactly like Dom said, the way that the adductors kind of work with the flexors, with the extensors, they play a role in all of that as well. And we just need to take in account of everything that kind of plays a role down into that groin region and why there are 9 different types of injuries we're going to go over today.
Yeah, and to start off with those injuries, if we're just going to kind of dive right in, some of the first ones, we want to talk about the adductor. That's the muscle that's doing a lot of the work on the inside of the groin and might take on too much of that pressure every once in a while. So an adductor strain, and we can have any different degree of strain, whether it's just a slight strain where we tugged on that muscle too hard, or if there's actually a little bit of a tear where some fibers have torn. So the pain can be of a different degree and the length of recovery can be to a different degree, but that's generally going to be right on that adductor tendon up near the pubic bone.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's more muscular, it's more tendinous. We're going to talk about obviously different ways to be able to work through that, but it's like a muscle pull.
Yeah, muscle pull. And that can be, like we said, a lot of different degrees, a lot of different variations, all the way to the extent where, say, and this will happen often in younger people that have a little more malleable bone where their tendons and their muscles are strong. And when we pull really hard, we might actually chip a little bit of that bone off. The tendon's not going to tear at all, but the bone comes off of that pubic area. And that's going to be more that avulsion fracture. That's like a really intense strain that the muscle doesn't actually get hurt. It just pulls so hard that it pops a little chunk of bone off, and then we have this avulsion fracture of the bone.
Exactly. So that's more of like that acute type of injury. Something traumatic kind of happens, and you definitely know right away.
Yeah, you're going to know that something happened there. And then, depending on the severity, you might have some weakness. It actually might be a little weaker than the other side, or depending on what muscles were involved specifically. So those are ones that more so involve the adductor muscle and the bone where that attaches in specifically.
Exactly. And then talking into the bone again, we can get different stress fractures that happen around the bone. Mm-hmm. So whether that is up into, so the big bone that's right in our thigh is our femur, and right at the head of the femur at the top where it connects into that pelvis, we can get some stress fractures right at that femoral head as it connects into that hip. We can also get some stress fractures around the pelvis. And so this is a little bit more annoying to have to work through. Bone pain is just super uncomfortable. It's like a bone bruise. It happens for quite a while. Like walking on stress fractures in your feet, not fun. Also, we use our hips for just about everything that we do, you know, or we want to be using our hip hinge. Totally. So it's a little bit more of a work through and a rehabilitation program that's going to take some time.
Yeah, because stress fractures, different than a strain. Like a strain, if you have an acute muscle strain or tear, as soon as you activate that, depending on what type of tear, but you might have that pain right away. Or as soon as you start working out, that muscle is going to be the tightest and the most irritated until you might start working into it, especially if it's just like a minor strain. Versus a stress fracture, that pain might start getting worse as you do more work.
Exactly.
Because then you're putting more stress on it and maybe worsening or progressing that stress fracture more. So then to get it to heal, you do need to have significant amount of time off from that specific activity. So then we can get some different bone modeling, right? That's kind of similar to one that is down the list a little bit, but like FAI, where we start getting bone modeling. And we had a whole episode on FAI, which is femoral acetabular impingement. It can also happen on the femoral neck, very similarly, where we're just getting a lot of activation in the front of that hip, or we're overusing the front of that hip, and we get some rubbing of our hip bone or our acetabulum on that femoral neck. And we have a whole episode that kind of teases into the specifics of that. But just again, putting too much pressure on the front of those bony structures.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So again, most people know it as like labral tear, stuff like that. But
for sure,
that also can play a role into that hip, especially if you do like hip 90-90 and you feel, you know, as you're going into
that
internal rotation,
uncomfortable pinching.
Yeah.
Yeah. That can be a symptom or saying like, oh, hey, I may be having some hip impingement. Again, that doesn't mean you're never going to get that to go away.
Right.
Just to be aware, like a lot of people with hip impingement will take their hand like this, like a C, and they'll put their pointer and ring finger like right into the groin with their thumb kind of on the outside of their hip and say, this is where my pain is, or pointing right to the inside of the hip. That's indicative of an FAI type injury, which also comes with different labral issues a lot.
Exactly. Then we can go down and we have things that like right where your pubic bone, so think of again that pelvis, we have our pubis symphysis, which comes and it comes in right in the front of that pelvis area. And it's called the pubis symphysis, and it kind of comes together. And we sometimes get a lot of irritations here. We can build chronic inflammation here because if we're thinking side to side movement or one area moving more than the other, dominate, whatever it may be. A lot of times as therapists or chiropractors, we'll check for alignment issues, like, oh, is one higher than the other? You know, how are they responding together? And over time, that can cause some inflammation right into that area. A lot of runners, dancers, soccer players, a lot of people who do, I mean, almost any sport, I feel like, can get some of the irritation there.
Totally. I feel like I've done a big workout that I may not have been ready for before and had some pubic discomfort the day after. And of course, I kind of have my strategies that will help me approach that. And that can happen on an acute stage. So you do a workout and like, oh, I've never felt this before. My pubic area is inflamed. That is more of just a pubic myalgia or a pubalgia versus something that, okay, that starts happening weekly and then a couple times a week. And then we're just kind of get this chronic dull aching. That is more of this like osteosis pubis or osteosis pubis, which basically means like relating to the pubic bone, but that means more this chronic inflammation is when we call it the osteosis pubis.
Right.
So those are just a couple other differentials or diagnoses that people might throw out there when we're having groin pain.
Yeah, exactly. And the athletic pupilla, they usually talk about, you know, it's where the if we want to get a little bit more specific, the abdominal wall is kind of connecting where that adductor, so the inner thigh, is kind of coming together right on that pubic bone.
Yeah, for sure. And one of the ones that you might not see as often, because it might have to do more with like people who are pediatric, which means they're below 18 usually, or they still haven't gone fully through puberty. That means that sometimes these areas on our bone called our epiphyseal plates, are not completely fused. And that's just a fancy term for your growth plate.
Yeah.
So our growth plates are still active. They may be a little more malleable. And if we're doing a lot of repetitive, like explosive exercise or power stuff or landing from jumping a lot, we might put too much pressure in those epiphyseal areas and get an epiphyseal injury or a growth plate injury.
Yeah, especially as we're little growing humans and just putting a lot of repetitive strain and stress there. One that is super common, especially me as a former Pilates instructor, used to see all the time. And it's still something that's super common. I'm asked about, which I posted about, guys. But this is snapping hip syndrome, which I feel like we could do a whole nother podcast on, really diving into the intricacies and what you can start to do about it. But ultimately, you know, it's not so much a pain that you're having all the time in your hip and groin. It's more of like when I'm doing mountain climbers, I notice that my hips are popping or snapping. Or if I'm doing ab exercises on my back, which is where it came into play a lot with Pilates, you know, as I'm doing some marching, I'm getting some snapping or some irritation right into that groin area. And so that one becomes really common, and we'll go into different strategies that you can start to be and pay attention to.
Yeah. And so when you look at all those injuries kind of lined up against each other, you'll notice that some of them have to do with the front of the body. Some of them have to do more with that inner thigh. Some of them, you know, are a little differently placed based on where it is in the groin, but also kind of illustrating how dynamic our groin and our adductor and all those structures are to that movement in general. And so how can we start to tease out, okay, where is my issue along all those diagnoses? We have to kind of explore every different range. I mean, the first thing we brought up was flexing and extensing. So if I get in a lunge with my irritated leg in the front and just stand up and go into extension with that leg, does that irritate that groin pain? Maybe it might have to do with when we're doing extension, or when I have that leg behind me and pull it forward to flex, is that irritating? Or doing some ab exercises where I'm using a lot of flexion of my legs, am I supporting through that front line and the lower abdomen in those hip flexors and adductors through the quadriceps at the front of the thighs? So how is that entire front line working? That's going to help you explore some of the issues that were more on the anterior side, like the FAI or the snapping hip or things like that.
Hernia.
You know, different inguinal hernia. That's one that we didn't even bring up, that we can have either inguinal hernia or a sports hernia. I personally had some issues with an inguinal hernia where I just knew I was putting too much pressure to the front. And one of the things I've been working on the most is my core and my low abdomen and how much that brings back to my ability to flex and round my body, right? I just was doing it too much, probably from my hip flexor, adductor, quad, that complex, and not bringing it enough back to my foundation. So that whole anterior body can help you explore some of those symptoms or diagnoses that might happen more on the front side of the body.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times when we're talking about something that's happening or you're feeling something that's happening, in order to simplify it, what I like to say is you're either neglecting something. So you might not be even strengthening your adductors. You might not be aware. You might not be aware of your pelvic floor. You might not be aware of your breath as you're doing mountain climbers or ab exercises. And when we're neglecting something, then we're only using one part of the system. And in reality, every single step that we move, guys, it gets a little overwhelming, but we really are integrative beings. We use everything, and we have to start to explore this awareness of our body, of how our breath plays a role with our muscles, of how our breath plays a role with our pressure system from our pelvic floor to our back to our front, and how then that is going to change the way that we're extending that hip with the glutes and how it's flexing with the hip flexors. Like, it all plays a role. And of course, I can't, you know, neglect to bring up mobility.
Yeah. And that's where, like, you know, when we were even talking about this, I brought up, well, we probably just neglect the adductors because they're so strong. And strong's not the right word. I probably should have said they're so tense because a lot of people will just hold tension there and never move into that mobility, never let our legs spread and find how much adductor range we can get. And then once we realize how much range we have, can we activate and control through it? Mm-hmm. And so it might not be that they're strong, they're just tense and, like you said, neglected.
Mm-hmm.
Where just because something's tense doesn't mean it's functionally strong.
No, not at all. And that's something that I find a lot, actually, when people have rotational issues in the hip, really tight, especially don't go a lot into hip internal rotation. So if you're thinking about it, it's like if you're laying down, you kind of grab the top of your thigh and then you rotate the foot outward. Ooh, mine's a little tight right now.
Yeah, so you're almost like windshield wiping your leg to the side just to see, okay, and I can't internally rotate with a darn, but I
without
like,
moving your hips a lot and compensating. Yeah, exactly.
Look at that. I got so much. So doing that, but then on the flip side, can you rotate inward into that external rotation and just experiencing
your adductor? So it's having that range of motion. So I say that too, because a lot of times when people are neglecting that hip internal rotation, we're actually really tight in those adductors and they're holding you back. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, no, we don't have enough range to actually feel functional going there. So we're just going to stop you from doing it. And then you can get a lot of hip pinching and then you get a lot of overactivation of those hip flexors because you don't know how to use your leg. You know, so if we start to think about these things, am I tight? We need about 30 degrees of functional hip abduction. Mm-hmm. Okay, so coming out to the side, meaning the stretch of those inner thighs. And that's without, again, those hips shifting or anything. So 30 degrees isn't that far.
That's more or less, I mean, on the lower end, we should try to get to 30, but a lot of people might not even have that.
Exactly.
I might not even be aware because they'll lift their leg to the side, be like, I have plenty of range, but
they're side bending.
When we control their pelvis and don't let them side bend, it's like, oh my gosh, that's all that I can stick that leg out there. And they'll start shaking and quivering because they haven't done it in a long time or ever for like a while. I mean, when we're kids, we move our body in ways that we couldn't even think about doing right now, but move those legs, move that adductor, get it lengthening and see what it feels like in the body.
Yeah. And I'll show different examples as we're talking through this on YouTube, you know, to show some of my favorites, adductor rocks and types of butterfly type things. I don't necessarily like butterfly, but opening it up a little bit more. You know, I'll show these different
things.
Laying
on your back and legs against the wall and then letting them slowly relax to the side. It's a similar to what we're looking to get in the butterfly, but I think it does it a lot better.
Using gravity and just being able to relax.
And breathe. And one of the studies that we looked at that I think is like just good to point out.
Yeah.
And I don't care really about the specifics of the study, but like the principle was like, okay, people with groin pain did this one adductor exercise just to activate the adductor itself, basically. And about 41% of people saw immediately a significant decrease in their pain. Great. I mean, it's called the Copenhagen plank or the Copenhagen adductor plank or something like that. And it's basically just a side plank where you're using your adductor rather than the outside of your hip to hold your body up. And it basically just illustrates to me that all they did was activate it, speak into the adductor just a little bit, and they had relief in their pain in a short term. Mm-hmm. So what if we did something like that consistently every day?
Think about it.
What kind of message would that type into our system?
Exactly. And that's why a lot of times too, when I'm first having someone, when I'm wanting to bring more stimulation, more awareness to this area, I also do manual work on the inner thighs. I get people to foam roll the inner thighs, not because I'm having them break up scar tissue or anything crazy. We're bringing stimulation and awareness back to this area that saying we can lengthen and that's okay. That's safe for my body to do. And I can stimulate, activate, and strengthen in a functional manner. And so, yes, when we just start to wake those inner thighs up, I think we neglect inner thighs a lot. I think we neglect calves and the front of the shins a lot. And especially if we're talking about adductor type movements, it's going to be, again, effective on like walking, running, going forward and backwards, but also side to side movements. Mm. And that requires a lot of stability from the feet and from the lower legs. So we can't forget about the calves and how the anterior tib or the front of the shin is working as well.
Just like your, what are they, the coccyx squats or the Kazakh squats? What are they called?
Cossacks.
Cossacks squats. Cossack squats. Whatever. Things like Cossack squats, side lunges, things like that, that really will functionally teach you side to side how that adductor is involved. At least when I do those, it talks to me a bit.
Yeah.
But the one Copenhagen exercise we specifically brought up, if you wanted to head over to YouTube, we'll kind of have that running in the background. Basically, all you do if you want to explore activating that adductor yourself is get a chair, and like you're going to be in a side plank, just put your top leg up on that chair, or up on whatever it is, a couch, a chair. You might need to have a place to put your leg underneath, or you can just bend your bottom leg.
Yeah.
But then basically all you do is lift the bottom leg off the ground and keep yourself in that solid side plank with that top leg pressing down into the chair or the couch or whatever.
If you've never done it, it is tough. So start with your knees bent and start with your knee on the bench or the chair or whatever.
Yeah.
And then work the, it's just going to shorten that lever and that force of that adductor having to work. And then if we go out toward the shin and then toward the ankle is obviously going to be the hardest.
Yeah. And then getting up on a hand and then putting your other, you know, there's all sorts of things you could do at that level to make it tougher. But as the study illustrated, just start activating that thing and you might very well feel a difference in your groin pain today.
And then take a look at what else might you be neglecting. Are you neglecting mobility? Are you neglecting the way that you're breathing through these exercises? Are you neglecting, you know, the way that your core is activating with your glutes, with your hip flexors, with your adductors? I mean, just it all plays a role. And that's what we try to do in the Optimal Body as well, as we're breaking down specific activations. But then when you're doing exercises like lunges or Bulgarian split squats, where one leg is in front and it's kind of a single leg exercise, it's not really, you have support of both feet still, but with that split stance, you have the opportunity to feel that entire leg. And a lot of people, they only feel quads and glutes and hamstrings, and we neglect feeling anything in that inner thigh area. And when you really maximize the way that you're able to change movement and feel movement, you will feel that groin and that adductor area start to fire up in such a beautiful manner. Thank you again for joining us on yet another PT Pearl. We just appreciate you so much. And of course, if you need more visuals for each PT Pearl, they are over at Doc Gen Fit on YouTube. There is a whole section for the PT Pearls from the Optimal Body Podcast that you can use to really see what we're talking about. And don't forget, if you really like this, if you're learning from it, share it out, share it with your community. Tell us what you're learning. Rate and subscribe to the episode, because there's going to be so many more goodies and PT pearls along the way. And if you're ready to dive in even deeper, don't forget, we have an Optimal Body membership with an incredible community of movers learning with us and moving in their body. Until next time, thank you again.